Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome new listeners to the Todd Glass Show. Before we get going, here's some stuff you should know. To tell if it's a bit or the truth from Todd, if he says potato salad or swear to God, those expressions are comedic, little darling. If Todd means the truth, he always says to George Carlin. And on the topic of bits, let's erase any doubt. Todd's almost always joking when he says edit it out. The intro goes long, cause Todd's so big-hearted. Other podcasts end before his gets started.
The intros are recorded on a phone, but don't worry, the audio of the show is at a higher quality.
You know the Podcasters Association voted the Todd Glass Show number one. So welcome to the show.
Springfield, Missouri. I am here at the Blue Room. Tonight is Friday. There's two shows. We are in the year of February 2019. And two shows Saturday. Blue Room Comedy Club, Springfield, Missouri. Okay, there you go. Wear a bow tie. They sit you closer to the stage. Carry a bow tie. Whatever you're comfortable with. Well, today's, guess who it is? It's Eddie Pepitone, but he's hosting. See, I'm out of town. I'm like, I don't want to just not have a show. Who could co-host for me? I thought Eddie Pepitone. Actually, Eric Olson thought of Eddie Pepitone. Actually, how many times I can use the word actually? I'm like that kid. Apparently. So I go, well, last week we had a double. I won't be back in town. So we haven't done this in a while. I said, Eric, what do you want to do? He's like, why am I making such a big deal about this? I'm making like it's a documentary just because, well, I didn't want Eric to think I didn't give him credit for Eddie Pepitone. That's why I went into the whirlwind of hysteria. I didn't want to take the credit. So, Eddie Pepitone. What does he do? To George Carlin, I have no idea. I didn't hear it yet. I can't wait to hear it. I'm as excited as you are. What did he do? All I know is that I called in. I did call in while he was doing the show. From Philadelphia, from the green room at Helium Comedy Club. Which I had a really good time at. I really did. By the way, if you went to any of the shows at Helium, I love that club because training your audience is never ending. And there were certain, maybe two shows out of like seven where there were some loud talkers, but man, they put it to rest. And I know when you're in there, they cannot be doing any more than they do. And it's just year after year training the crowds, and they do it beautifully. And because of it, Helium in Philadelphia has cultivated some really nice audiences. And I really had a great time. And I just wanted to say that. Okay. But now I'm in, I'm in Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room Comedy Club. And if it's as good as it was last time, I'm going to have a great time. They got Todd Barry coming up, too. Gilbert Godfrey. They got some cool acts coming up. All right. Enjoy the show. And that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eddie Pepitone. Okay. Bye. You're great. You're special.
It's a good show.
Yippee-yay, Cow Eddie. Yippee-yay, Cow Eddie. He rode into town to promote his album, You've Changed. Yippee-yay, Cow Eddie.
Hello and welcome. I'm Eddie Pepitone, and I am substituting for Todd Glass. Who knows how long it'll be? Todd has had a nervous breakdown. He snapped like a twig, and he's now in a sanitarium on the ocean in Santa Monica. He's just in a little wicker chair saying the words "ride along" and "circle driveway" over and over again. And he's being pushed by a nurse on the, and he just looks at the ocean, goes ride along, circle driveway, ride along. So who knows how long, because modern medicine, for all its modernity has not solved the question of complete despair and hopelessness. People still are pacing the grounds of hospitals all over this great land with slippers, very thin slippers, and they're just playing ping pong all day, and they're drugged up because they've snapped. They can't take the military industrial complex. And my co-host today, Eric Olson and Steve Finearts. Hi, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hello, Eddie.
How is everything? We're filling in for Todd, who in actuality is in Philadelphia. He's at the Helium tonight, yes. Headlining, right?
Well, yeah, he's in Philadelphia. Let's set the scene that you are, Eddie, you are wearing a Jimmy Kimmel live sweatshirt, one of Todd's out of his closet.
Listen, Glass, if you're listening, and I know you are, Glass, I know you're listening, because... Anyway, you're listening because you can't help it. I took your Jimmy Kimmel sweatshirt because I'm cold. I'm cold. And did you hear that sound effect? It was done better than what you do. This show is already better. And I have your Kimmel sweatshirt. I don't want to lose this. And a lot of people get really touchy. Oh, don't take my shirt. Don't take my... A lot of people get really touchy about their clothes, right? Oh, that's from my grandpapa. Oh, don't take my grandpapa's shirt. Bullshit. I'm taking a Kimmel sweatshirt, and you ain't getting it back, because I also was on Kimmel, and I never got a fucking sweatshirt, and now I have one. So suck it, Glass.
It's been a long time. It's been a while since you've been on Kimmel, too.
It's been a while, so this is also... Is that true?
Isn't that right? You were saying before the show. How long has it been since you were on Kimmel?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
I haven't been on Kimmel in years. As a matter of fact, the last thing Kimmel said, and I don't care how close Glass is to Kimmel, the last thing Kimmel, when they were trying to get me on a sketch, mm-hmm. which I used to do a bunch of sketches besides some other bits, and that's not to brag. Folks, listen, I know you're all high. By the way, Glass's audience is, you people are so fucking stoned. You're like, why aren't you? You're still in Vietnam in your mind. You're like so high,
so
right?
Put down your weed for this episode, because this is going to be a sober episode.
I haven't smoked marijuana in many years, and guess what? I'm like the William Dafoe character. No, not William Dafoe. Tom Berenger character. Dafoe was the stoner. Berenger was like the alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. Well, I do go to the 12-step meetings, but you're not supposed to talk about that on the level of press, radio, and film.
I haven't smoked since 6 a.m.
Wow. That's true. I was, I was up at 6 a.m. and I smoked because my son was having a breakdown.
Oh, talk about
now bragging. That is the key to good parenting.
So I left and got high.
is to get high as soon as there's a problem with your child.
Oh, yeah. I was out of there.
Well, set the scene too, Eric. You live on a boat, right?
Yeah.
And you're on a boat. You're smoking weed at 6 a.m. outside with the... Your babies.
He's inside screaming because he's got a tooth breaking through the skin.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think so.
I was high. I have no idea. Yeah. because what happened was instead of taking care of the kid, I went out and got lasagna.
I think it's definitely a tooth coming in.
Oh, so how old is your
14
kid?
Months.
Wow. Well, 1 year and 2 months for those of you who are high. No, I won't mention that again. God bless you if you're smoking. At least you are enjoying yourselves. I don't enjoy myself because once you stop putting substances in your body, there's no buffer between you and what I like to call the horror of reality, which is why you're smoking. Okay, so
when he was when his mom Sheree was pregnant, I smoked a lot because I thought this is it. I'm going to have to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. She's going to have the baby. I'm going to have to be a responsible dad. I can't smoke pot. Now so I'm just going to get it out of my system now.
That's
a lot of it.
Hilarious.
And
then you realize you
that's
could
great.
Parent
yeah.
High.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually focuses you more, would you say?
It.
not really. I don't know where my kid is.
Yeah, no, I think it makes... Well, I don't mm-hmm. day smoke, so I only
oh, you don't
smoke.
Oh,
you just
like,
morning 6 smoke?
Well, I did at 6 a.m. because I knew
you don't
I was,
call that the day.
I was.
There's just a lot of loopholes. You sound like Trump's lawyer. That's right. I said it. Does Glass talk politics? No. Oh, yes, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't normally day smoke, but this one I needed to get back to bed, and that helps.
Oh, does it put you asleep?
Yeah, that's kind of what I use it for, like, towards the end of the day when I don't have anything else to do, I don't have anywhere to go, then I'll unwind with some weed and
because
some TV.
Because with weed, I was the opposite. I would get high, and I would start going, I would get so stimulated by the weed that I would just start, you know, looking at porn, you know, masturbating like 5 times, then I would eat, then I would smoke a
that's
little
that's how I
again.
Calm down.
Then I would smoke again.
Yeah, it's a vicious
cycle. How about
cycle.
You, Jake? Jake is here with us.
Yeah, Jake.
Do you smoke?
I dabble.
Oh, you do? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't
everybody,
really, like,
you guys are young. I mean, I smoked till I was 42 or something.
When'd you start?
14.
Because I didn't start till I was like 28.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had 14 years on you. I started when I was 14. And I look at 14-year-old kids now from a car window, and they are so fucking young, and I'm saying to myself, why was I smoking that?
Were you smoking all the time when you were 14? Just
I
like,
think I was a pretty big pothead. Yeah.
Who? How did it start? Was it just kids at school, or
how did it start?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It started. When was the first? I don't know. Me and my good friends were like, hey, you want to? You know, like right. a typical thing.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
hey. He was like, hey, what? What? You want to try this? What is it? Yeah. Marijuana?
Yeah. Can I tell you the first time I smoked?
Yeah.
Just because it's such a ridiculous story.
Yeah, yeah.
It was with my boy Jackson Van Ron. Shout out Jackson. I was like 16 and he came over my house. And we like snuck out of my house super late at one night. And we smoked some weed for the first time.
Who got it? You or Jackson?
Oh, for sure Jackson.
Oh,
like,
okay.
He grew up on Martha's Vineyard. It's an
oh,
island.
Forget it. Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, so he just had weed.
Martha's Vineyard, they're born with joints in their mouths in Martha's Vineyard.
So we came back in, and we're like, I didn't really feel it because the first time, I guess you don't get high. I'm not sure actually how that works, but I guess
oh,
you just don't.
Oh, right. Yeah, they say that the first time you smoke, you don't get high. Not with me, my friend.
I don't think
always.
I can walk.
I
remember thinking I had to pee and I didn't know how to get from the couch to the bathroom.
So we got back to my room and I had 2 beanbag chairs and we were super like, I guess he was high, but it was pretty late. And then he just started masturbating on
Who?
One of the beanbag chairs. My boy Jackson.
he started masturbating?
Truly, in front of me, just started masturbating.
I don't think that had anything to do with the weed, though.
Yeah.
That
because I've been high a lot. Nobody's whipped it out.
And I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? And he's like, oh, no, it feels so good when you're high. And then I truly did not smoke weed until I was 22.
Of course,
that.
You were fucking traumatized.
Because
you were
like,
that's what Louis should say. I was high.
Oh my God, Jackson probably sides with Louis, huh? Like,
if you love yourself,
I mean, he's got good jokes.
Then you should take yourself to the Dynasty typewriter at the Hayworth on Saturday, February 16th, 8 and 10 p.m. It's Eddie Pepitone live special recording.
That's right, folks. I am recording my special at the Hayworth Theater February 16th. 10 o'clock is the show we have to sell out. 8 o'clock is almost sold out. So if you're going to come, come to 10 o'clock. It's going to be the better show because and the 8 o'clock people don't know this,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 10 and o'clock's going to be unhinged.
It's going to be unhinged because I'm going to probably have a great set at 8, even though you should come at 10. Because then I'll be so loosey-goosey at 10. But we need to sell more tickets for 10.
Yeah.
And if you know me, if you know the Todd, and of course you know the Todd Glass Show, I'm probably Todd's favorite comedian. Would you say that?
Yeah.
Or does he say it
ever since Kevin Meaney died?
was he a big Kevin Meaney fan?
Yeah, yeah. I would say you and Brian Regan, I'd say, are the...
Oh, Brian Regan!
I'd say those are the two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is a Brian Regan joke. Hey, hey, Ted, look at this. They say on the back of this ice cream that a serving is 5 tablespoons. That's Regan's material. Now, you're not going to get that when you come to mine. We're going to be talking about the collapse of our civilization. We're going to be talking about that we're eating each other's tails at this point in this country, that there is an imminent collapse. Yes. Imminent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Bring the family. DynastyTypewriter.com.
The rich people are taking back all the wealth so that they can hold it while we fight.
They've done it. It's not that they're taking. They have done it already.
You don't think one of these candidates in 2020 is going to save us?
Who's who do we have so far?
We have Kristen Gillibrand, New York Senator.
She took Hillary's seat in New York.
Oh, okay. Kristen Gillibrand. I have not heard her. It's so she is probably like another centrist Democrat.
She
right?
was a Blue Dog Democrat. Who
what
was,
does that mean?
She
Blue
was
Dog?
Sort of more conservative, and she was against the Affordable Care Act. And now she
was against.
And now
even
she's
that
for...
piece of shit act, which was a compromise. Yes.
And didn't she also at one point have an A rating from the NRA?
I believe so. Yeah, nah. She was.
Oh yeah, let's vote for Kristen. Hey. Do you want things to stay the same? I'm Kristen Gillibrand. Are you in favor of living in a sewer?
We also have possibly Cory Booker running.
Mm. Now, Booker had a good rep until he backed Big Pharma in the healthcare like single payer.
He's been a friend of Wall Street.
And he's been a friend to Wall Street? Fuck Cory Booker.
Here's another really good 2020 candidate. We have Michael Bloomberg as a possibility.
We need... This would be the great campaign for Bloomberg, his slogan. We need another billionaire.
A New York billionaire. How about that?
Yeah. He's also from New York. We need another New York billionaire in power to help someone living on $200 a week. Because if there's one thing a billionaire understands is the day-to-day struggle of the working man and woman.
We also have Howard Schultz, Starbucks CEO.
Starbucks CEO.
President of Starbucks. Yeah.
Now that'll be Starbucks CEO. Their biggest claim to fame for climate control is that I think they're eliminating straws by the year 2030.
I'm going to give you a few more. We have Joe Biden.
Ha! Joe Biden. Look, I come from Pennsylvania coal miner stock. Everybody around me dies. I don't have anybody left. I'll be a great leader. Because I'm salt of the earth. Yes, I'm worth $500 million now because I've sold out to corporate money for many years. But still, I got coal dust all over me. I love the way he does that blue collar thing.
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke. Now, what's his deal?
He lost. Well, he lost to Ted Cruz in Texas.
Yeah, it's hard to win the presidency when you lose.
Yeah, but he's such a heartthrob, though.
I feel like he's sort of a manufactured candidate. They're trying to make the new Obama.
Yeah, I think
he's good looking.
I think he has that cadence that the Obama advisors go, oh, he kind of sounds like him. Maybe right, we can. Right.
Yeah, he's using social media as a way to do his Instagram stories.
Yeah, but it seems so forced.
Yeah, I think he's.
By the way, folks, I don't know. I'm not sure of Todd's politics. I think they're a bizarre mix of being part of the Skullfuck Party, which is a marijuana brand. He is for the average person, but he doesn't have, any real convictions. Now, me, all you have to know about me is read a guy named Chris Hedges. I'll give you a couple of titles of books so you're up to speed. Ready? The Death of the Liberal Class by Chris Hedges, and his last book, America, the Farewell Tour. And that's all you need to know about our country. And by the way, another thing you need to know about our country, here's an economic primer. This country is built right now on massive, unimaginable debt, and that means it's going to collapse. Good luck. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is, the best economic minds are saying we're in big trouble. Pretty soon, a lot of us are going to be strapped to trucks, naked, being forced by the alt-right to sing the Star-Spangled Banner with dildos in our asses.
Do you want to tell us about your trip to the French Laundry, Eddie?
Now, I do have contradictions. I was just at a super fancy place where they shaved truffles at the table. It was $350 per person.
That's a set rate up top?
Yeah.
So you got a course menu or something?
Yeah.
Thomas Keller, right?
And I'm vegan. Mm-hmm. Thomas Keller. How did you know Thomas Keller?
He's a famous chef.
He is, Now, Keller is not, like they did a vegan tasting, like it's a big tasting menu. There's like 8 courses. It's in Napa Valley. So, yes, I may be a man of the people. But I paid for it on my credit card, which is really a lot of debt. the card did.
You paid for the whole family or just yourself?
No, just me. I couldn't have paid for everybody.
So Chris Hedges, are there any of these candidates that he would support?
Bernie Sanders, Hedges. Hedges really likes Bernie, but he also has problems with Bernie. One being that Bernie does not call out the military-industrial complex. I don't think he does. Also, recently,
Bernie's not really a foreign policy kind of guy either.
Well, you got to be running for president.
I've heard that about Elizabeth Warren, too. She's not great with foreign policy.
She isn't, right?
No, she's kind of with Bernie in the same camp.
Honestly, I don't think any of them are.
Well, with Bernie, this is what Hedges said with Bernie. When he lost the nomination to Hillary, which was rigged, the DNC.
Go on.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know this, Absolutely. That the DNC fucked Bernie. Mm-hmm. You guys know this who are listening. Take another rip from your
Alaska thunder
from fuck. Your Alaska thunder fuck. Hey, Margaret. Can you give me my Alaskan thunderfuck? What is that, Al? It's my marijuana, Margaret. Al, I love Alaskan thunderfuck when I'm listening to Glass. But doesn't he have a sober co-host tonight? Yeah, but the guy's unhinged, And Margaret, and you know this for a fact, that Alaskan thunderfuck makes everything better. Remember we were watching Fast and Furious the other night? Fast and Furious 25, the 25th installment? And it was pretty boring till we both did Alaskan thunderfuck.
We're getting a phone call right now.
Oh, who's it from?
Hello?
Todd Glass, is this the Todd Glass Show?
Hello, Todd. This is your substitute host, Eddie Peppertone.
Ever heard of him?
Eddie, you.
I have your Jimmy Kimmel.
Eddie,
yeah.
I just want to say thank you very much for filling in when I'm gone. How do you feel? Is everyone being nice to you?
Everyone's being really nice. It's really good. You know what, dude? I feel really comfortable in your seat. And I feel really comfortable doing this podcast here. There's something.
Wait, Eddie, this was just for one night.
that's what I want to talk to you about.
No.
We've
Eddie,
changed
Eddie.
The locks on what? This place. The locks no, Eddie, have been Eddie. Changed. You're in Philadelphia.
What? Eddie,
yes?
I'm not moving back to Philadelphia. You're just doing one night.
You have family in Philadelphia. I don't have anything. This house is now mine.
So you're saying all you have is the podcast.
All I have is your podcast. Hey, did you do your first show tonight?
I did, and it was so much fun.
It was?
Isn't it fun having fun on stage?
Yeah, they're really totally with you, huh, tonight?
I have the band with me. They were great.
You have a band with you? Do you always have a band on the road, Todd?
I try 95% of the time to have something.
How do you get a band? Do you do like Craigslist trying to get people?
How dare you?
Why?
Maybe that's where you're
Craigslist. I got my artificial heart from Craigslist. Yes, the guy said it's on ice. This heart came from a kid that was sacrificed to the Aztec gods. You're right
so
to left.
Just so you know, I'm listening. Your heart came from a king.
All right, whatever you want. I said,
yeah.
I said, kid. I said, kid.
Right now, we can black it out.
Eddie,
yes. Well, I want you to have fun. Are you in my seat?
I'm in your seat, buddy. And not only that,
and your sweatshirt.
I have on your Jimmy Kimmel sweatshirt because I forgot how cold it gets. Just listen to me, Glass. I forgot how cold it gets at night. So I took a Jimmy Kimmel sweatshirt. And guess what? You aren't getting that back either. At least for a while, because I have to go to Good Heroin, the show in Echo Park that's run by Matt Ingebrigtsen.
And good Echo Ross. Park.
Boy, you know how to fucking get people, huh? You just yell out certain keywords. Oh, Echo Park! Drive along, circle driveway, fuck you!
I knew you were going to get me. Eddie, let me ask you something now. Don't lie to me.
Okay.
So I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah.
If you did it, it's fine. When I listen to the podcast, have you made fun of me?
Yes. Yes.
Is it good? Is it anything? I'll be like, what?
No. I think you'll be pleased with it. I mean, it's acerbic and scathing because that is who I am. But it's you. You love me. I said on the air, by the way, tell me if this is true. I said that I am your favorite comedian. And Eric said ever since Kevin Meaney died.
Well, you know what? I always say I can't have a favorite one because it's so hard. But if someone put a gun to my head and it's close, because there's some close ones.
Brian Regan, you
Lisa
love.
Lisa Lampanelli.
For me. Brian Regan, it's no offense to him or guys that really know how to make me laugh, but you're the best. You're the one. If I had to pick, it would be you.
Seriously, right? Thank you.
I can't get enough of it. There's no joke. I fucking, you know.
I know.
I can't get enough of it.
I know. And we have.
Eddie Pepperman. That's why Lynn Silverman and I are bonding later in life.
Yes. And you know what? Maybe we'll edit out some of the things I said about you because you're giving me a lot of love right now.
Oh my God, you're like,
no, but you'll like the things, but they are very, very revealing and telling.
Are you being nice to Aristotle? Is Aristotle
yes,
there?
Except when he first came into the room, I said, I forgot his name, and he said, hey, I'm Aristotle. And I said, oh, well, this is Plato, and this is Hippocrates. And that didn't go over well.
Well, he's probably heard that before.
I know. I felt bad. Well, but you know how you make a bad joke, and, you know, especially as a comic, and you're like...
You're almost making a parody of it. You're doing a parody of it.
Let me
ask you one more question. Did they bring you in the door or through the green room?
The door.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. I told him, keep the door shut so the heat stays in.
It's very toasty in here.
Good. Well, turn the heat off. It's not free. Please turn the heat off. I don't want that heat. Guys, I can't.
Boy, you're just like my father sending me mixed signals. So you got planned?
I gotta go do this show literally in the, well,
what do you
no,
got?
I don't.
What do you got planned? What do you got planned for the second set over there tonight? You're going to have fun, or you're going to do the same thing?
I'm going to have fun. I'm going to smoke pot. I'm going to get fucked up because I'm fun.
Hey, does your show start at 10?
Yes, it does. And John Bramwagner wants to say hi.
Okay.
Hi. All right, that was it. Well, say hi to everybody. And
I will.
Aaron, who's there? Aaron Simon?
Steve? Jake?
Is he there?
Yeah.
No, I invited Aaron, but he didn't get back to
me. Aaron.
Aaron didn't come in.
So
I don't know why.
Who?
Cody is around, but not there.
So it's Jake Adams.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm back, bitches.
That crack caught up.
Out of nowhere. I'm back, bitches. Oh, you're so angry. And I don't use that word now. I say vagina.
Instead of anger?
Well, I do have to run because I do have some family back here. But
right.
Eddie, I can't wait to listen to the show. God
Put
bless
your
you.
Mom
God
on.
Bless you.
Tell your mom sup.
What?
Tell your mom sup.
Soak it in. That's a fun experience you get to do. You know, not everyone gets to do that. You're lucky, and I'm lucky.
Thanks, Todd. I it really is a lot of fun. And have a great weekend over there where you're loved. And I am taking over the podcast, and you cannot have it back.
God bless.
All right. See you, man.
Bye,
Todd.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye, Todd. Bye.
That was Todd Glass. And did you hear that shit? Yeah, he's great. He's the best. And it really does feel good here, though. So did we go through all the candidates?
I think so, yeah.
That may be running?
We didn't mention Kamala Harris.
Oh, we didn't mention Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah. I don't know much about her.
Yeah.
I like her.
I like her, too.
I think she's one of the tougher ones, I think, being a former prosecutor and DA. Yeah.
Mm. But where is her stance on the big, big fucking issues?
She's
voted
pretty
progressively, Giuliani's
though.
A fucking prosecutor.
She's voted progressively, I think, 98% or something.
Really?
Still really high up, yeah. So she's got a good record so far in the Senate. But I don't know. She does take money from special interests, though.
You know who I love, and obviously she can't run for president yet, but AOC.
AOC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, she's the best. What is her full name again? I don't
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I love
that they're trying to vilify her, and they just keep making her stronger.
She is on point, man. She is the best.
I know. She's look out for her.
So she'll probably throw her love back to Bernie.
I would think so. She worked for Bernie.
Did.
Mm-hmm. She worked for the campaign.
Now, is Bernie going to run again, or that's undecided?
He is running. That's the that he
is?
Yeah, he's running.
That's what they're saying.
It kind of leaked out that he was going to make his announcement soon. One of his senior advisors said, enjoy your weekend. It's not happening right away. But I imagine they're waiting for a slow news day.
I'm assuming when this podcast comes out,
when you raid Roger Stone's house and you got footage of the FBI, that's probably not a good day to announce.
Can
your candidacy.
I get up to speed about Stone now? How did he make his name again, Roger Stone?
He worked for Richard Nixon, and he got
great,
in trouble.
Great president,
and he was named in the Watergate. He was named in Watergate, so he was one of those people that was doing bad deeds for Nixon, and then he was able to parlay that into working for a lot of different...
Paul Manafort.
Yeah, Manafort and Stone.
Is he a campaign guy? What does he do?
I think he's sort of behind the scenes, dirty tricks
he
guy.
He marks it himself as kind of like a fixer.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a dirty tricks guy. Yeah. So he's an evil motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was known for, with Nixon, where he was... he basically voted in the primary... He gave money to Nixon's competitor in the primary... from a socialist group, so basically painting his opponent as a socialist. So it was it was like dirty tricks, and that made news.
Right.
And
by the way, you know why dirty tricks work, folks, is because you're assholes,
right.
And you buy this shit because none of you fucking read. You're taking rips out of your bongs and you're watching videos on YouTube.
Right.
Right.
Well, the whole thing with him too, with Roger Stone too, is also that he's claiming that he was connected to WikiLeaks through this guy Randy Credico.
I know Randy Credico.
So he's obviously a very, very far left comedian who's friends with Barry Crimmins and all these people.
Yeah.
But that's who he's claiming. But people are also saying that's not true. He was connected.
Hold it. So Credico is tied to Roger Stone?
Credico is tied to Assange. That's what he's claiming. Stone is claiming.
Right.
But they're saying maybe he was lying in his testimony and that he really got connected to Julian Assange through. What's the other guy's name? There's a right wing Jerome Corsi.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome Corsi, who's a right-wing guy. So he's claiming he got connected through a left-wing Credico, and apparently it was, people are saying it was through Corsi. There's some miscommunication, and that's one of the reasons that...
are they saying that Stone disseminated the WikiLeaks thing, or what's the connection?
They're saying that Stone was the liaison between WikiLeaks and the Trump campaign, uh-huh. and when Trump, you know, went on TV and said, "Hey, Russia, if you're listening, go find those emails." Mm-hmm. Well, they also asked Roger Stone, "Go to your guy Assange and get everything you can on Hillary."
Yeah, right. And there's like this Guccifer 2.0 hacker thing. There's like there's these in between people to Assange that Stone was working with to get the information out. So Stone was the one who was apparently the one who was fishing for all the information and.
Right.
And that's
but who's doing the actual hackings though? That's got to be Russia, right?
Yeah, Russia. Like that Guccifer 2.0 and there's other
Guccifer. Can I get Guccifer 2.0? No, is that available?
You need a website
because
guy.
The genius what?
You need a website guy.
Well, the Genius Bar, they're very helpful at Apple. Yes, I'd like Guccifer 2.0, please. Is that the Russian spy thing, sir? Where's your computer? It's right here. Okay, just open her up. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You need the updated version. That we here at Apple, we update things every 5 minutes.
But you also had this thing, too. You were talking about it was like the Russia illusion. Like, this is an important, right? Weren't you talking about that on Twitter and stuff? Like, that you think Russia is sort of a distraction? Or do you take that back?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do. I think, and, you know, the people that I read think that, you know, the people who have fucked America are the major transnational corporations
right.
who lobby the shit out of our government. And our government now is just, you know, it's as Craig Pallas said, a great journalist, book writer, it's the best democracy money can buy. I mean, they buy and pay for all these congressmen and senators, and there's nobody representing, you know.
So it's like the Russia thing.
Joe Little.
We have to take a break.
Oh. We do?
Can we take a quick break and then come back?
Do you guys still do that?
Oh, no. We haven't done that in a while.
That's a Jake thing.
Yeah, you guys used to take a deep breath in and then you take a deep breath out. And then...
We're back. Is that it? Is that the break? Like a 2-second break?
Yeah. Wow.
Folks, we'll be right back after this. We're back!
Sorry to derail right in the middle of that, but you asked about Russiagate.
Yeah, Russiagate. I think that the whole Russia thing is real.
Do you think that Russiagate is that Russia's a hoax or it's just a distraction?
I think there may be some reality to it, or there is a lot of reality to it. However, they are not to blame for Trump being elected. That blame goes squarely on the Clinton campaign and the Clinton campaign and DNC, and they wanted Trump. Do you know that?
Everybody's looking for
wanted Trump to be the guy they ran against. They fucking orchestrated that.
They didn't fucking campaign in like Michigan. Like,
right?
I mean, Hillary, they fucked up. I mean, we all know that Hillary fucked up. They lost the election. Hillary lost the election. But Russia helped.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no question. I think
that the reason Trump is president because of three people: Putin, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, James Comey.
Why James Comey?
Because he dropped the ball and said that, you know, the FBI was investigating Hillary Clinton when at the same time they were investigating Donald Trump, but he withheld that information.
Right. Yeah. Here's the Chris Hedges take on it, is that our democracy has been eroded away ever since Ronald Reagan. So it's been going on for over 30 fucking years. Unions have been decimated. You know, academia is in the pockets of corporations. The media.
It's all Karl Rove, the architect, right?
No. I mean, he's part of it, but I mean, the media.
Yeah, they're complicit because obviously Trump was getting great.
Isn't the word.
No, he was getting ratings. That's all it was.
That's right.
They were putting him on. Hold on. They were putting him on the empty podium. They were filmed. They were having that was on for like they were saying like more than any of the candidates on the Democratic.
Trump is good for ratings because everybody right now
is, and it's still going on, everybody right now is watching Trump, the reality show. Mm-hmm. That's what America is transfixed with. You know, because he's a car accident.
Right.
He's, you know, people like the fact that he's entertaining.
And even the Russia thing is the reality show. It's all the reality show because they should be talking about, like what you said, is the top 1%. I mean, they're not talking about what they should be talking about.
I don't think
you're one of these guys, and I'm not attacking you, but you... I understand what you're saying, and I think the focus is wrong.
What I'm saying is I don't think that the Russia thing is a hoax at all. I think that there was definitely collusion.
Me too.
And there's definitely crimes.
Well,
and he definitely,
Trump is so involved with the Russians through his real estate dealings, right? It's all about money.
But what I think that we focus too much attention on it. I think if the media was fair, that it would be equal parts Trump and Russia. Income inequality. I want a media that tells us, you know, you're getting fucked and it's rigged. Elections are rigged. Mm-hmm. Your government is rigged. Everything is fucking rigged and you're fucked.
By the way,
but all we talk about is Russia. I don't think it's a hoax. I think it's real. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a part of the problems of society.
And a
not
small
all of it.
Part. A very small part. But what the mainstream media does is it's juicy
it's
and
such
sexy.
A juicy story.
And here's my other problem with media. It either comes from state-sponsored media, which I don't trust. I don't trust like RT.
I don't either.
Anything from state-sponsored media,
I
don't
RT.
Trust. And
Hedges aren't RT.
Then the other side
so
of it is corporations. So media is either run by the state or the corporations, and they're both fucking us.
Mm-hmm. I watch, and I recommend this show a lot to people, Democracy Now!
Yeah, that's great.
With Amy Goodman. Is a great fucking... show.
But what, yeah, how do you like, why do you like RT though? Don't you think?
Well, Hedges is on.
Well, he's
RT.
Great, but don't you have a problem with the fact that they're state run and they're run by Russian.
But they're run beautifully. Have you seen their studios? I love a nice studio. Yeah. And they have all this nice paintings. And
I like.
No, I don't know. I really only watch Hedges on it and a couple of other guys.
They give
guys.
Him a voice to talk, which is good. They give Hedges a chance to talk.
But
which is
people
great.
Are complaining about RT. Here's the thing that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they got bombarded with CNN, MSNBC, Fox fucking News, which Roger Ailes, that's Roger Ailes. I always get Roger Stone and Roger Ailes.
Both scumbags.
Mixed up. But, you know, I just watch, you know, I'm the type of guy who when I go to the movies, I only watch really small foreign films from like countries that don't even exist anymore. Like I'm that type of person who just watches things. I'll watch a 3-hour film on, you know, called Il Postino about a postman, a postman in fucking Chile. And nothing happens in the movie, yet I'm transfixed. He's just going door to door with the mail. And then I'll watch Aquaman because I need some stimulus.
Oh my God.
I saw Aquaman. I'm a man of contradictions. Like, I rail against the corporate state, yet I'll go to Napa Valley.
Yeah.
I'll have a 10-course, you know, vegan tasting.
Can we talk a little bit more about what was in that dinner?
Mm.
Yes.
I imagine it's not a corporate event. It was just like.
It's a birthday.
This
right?
is a. But also, like.
It was family,
yeah,
right?
It
was two birthdays.
Like. A person owns this. It's not like run by some massive thing back in
right,
the day.
Right,
right.
If it was owned by Monsanto,
it's not
then you could call me on it.
Can I ask you this?
State sponsored.
What are your...
Welcome, Conrad, to French Laundry. Wait a minute. I thought you were French. Well...
What are your thoughts on, at a birthday dinner, the birthday person not paying for their meal? You're all for that, or you feel like...
I was all for it on this one.
Was it your
but
birthday?
I had to pay, actually. I paid $3.50. You know, which is a lot for one meal, especially, you know, what's funny is that, you know, it was great food, like really tasty. But on these 10 course things, they give you like just little fucking portions. Mm-hmm. And everybody around me, and I had a vegan, you know, I'm vegan. I've been vegan for 6 years. I was hungry by the end of it, where everybody around me was.
That's
like,
how you know it's
so
good.
Full.
Well, that's the one time in my life I did something like that.
Oh, you did that too?
I'm also vegan, and it was Farm Spirit in Portland. It was this
what was it called?
Farm Spirit.
Are they still big?
Yes, they just moved to a bigger location, actually. But it's like the kind of place where you have to make a reservation.
How much?
It was my birthday.
Ah!
Girlfriend paid for me. So that's what I still don't know, but it's like only eight parties can be in there at once. Yeah. And right. It's like the 10 course, tiny little things.
I'm what was the cuisine? But they made you a vegan.
Oh, yeah. It's all vegan.
Oh, it's all vegan. Yeah, I would love to go. I would love
to go to Gordo Farm Spirit.
What type of things as vegans do you guys eat at home? Because I'm not vegan, I'm vegetarian, but I still find it so fucking hard.
Well, you know what would make you find it less hard? Is to do some, and I mean this, do some real research on the dairy industry, which produces the things you love, like cheese and butter and what else? Milk. You know, they are fucking abused, those animals. So that's first. I always do it. I don't know about you, Aristotle, but I'm a vegan because of animal rights. Same. Are you?
Yeah.
And people talk about the health thing. I managed to be unhealthy with veganism. And you can too.
Just last night, I had a vegan fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah, there you go. It was delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Morningstar is all vegan now.
Is it?
And it's really good.
I like Gardein.
I've heard the Impossible Burger is supposed
it's to, good,
but I've heard it's really bad for you. I could be wrong, but I've been told.
Are you serious?
I've been told it's really. It's got a lot of stuff. There's in there. I could be wrong. I don't want to talk.
Why?
About it.
Why? Where'd you hear this? Is this from the alt right?
I've heard it's just got a lot of saturated fat and has a lot of the wrong things in there. I think they're still working on it. I think it's gonna
get
there.
Be better for you than red meat. Than the regular burger.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I kind of want to know. I got the Morningstar corn dogs, right? And they taste great.
Do they?
And they're all vegan. But you look at the back package, and it's a bunch of words I cannot pronounce.
Yeah, you can eat unhealthy as a vegan. Like, I admire the vegans who do
raw.
Raw stuff. I can't do it. Can you?
No.
No, I can't live like that. I'm having vegan mac and cheese, mashed potato, and vegan butter is great, right? Like, vegan. I just slather that shit on.
You're having vegan ice cream sundaes.
I have fucking vegan ice cream, and it's all getting better. The food, because more and more people are doing the vegan thing.
Do you go to Highland Park often?
I don't. What's
it is? I come to call it the vegan mecca now, because there's like a little strip of York that's very hip and popular.
Yeah,
but every restaurant there has at least one vegan option, and there's like constant pop ups all around that block of people like,
I gotta go,
vegan Jocko's, vegan Southern food, vegan this and that, and it's
love
all
it.
The time.
Love
We're talking
it.
About California, Los Angeles, baby.
Yeah.
I have another dilemma, though.
Because what's
your dilemma? My son's now 14 months, so he's off formula. Mm-hmm. It's switched to whole milk.
Wait, your wife never breastfed?
Well,
what did you say?
Wow, that's rude.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
He's talking about her tits.
Oh, my God.
What did Jake say? I missed it.
Breastfed.
A little more info on your wife's, you know.
I missed what Jake said.
He asked if his wife.
No, she did.
She did.
When a
child. Oh, that's cool.
He's not married, by the way.
I'm not married, but I know what he means. yes. Yes and no. But there was this.
Go on.
By the way, that's the only porn I watch. Is breastfeeding. It's very mellow porn. Tea is made in the background. Go ahead.
The thing is, when a baby is on formula at 12 months, they have them switch to whole milk. Anyway, also at a year is when they start getting introduced to solid foods. So he can now eat everything that we have. Mm-hmm. And she wants to give him chicken. Mm-hmm. And I've been fighting that. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong on this, because
I would do some, you know, I would do some research on it.
I tried toddler protein for toddler. Like, what should I be doing?
Again, that depends, and this is a problem. But like I was talking about with the media, it depends on your source, because the dairy and meat industry are so fucking powerful, and they have a lot of money. And so I think you have to, ask some vegan people too, you know, not crazy vegan people, but people who also weigh that. Like, I have no idea. Like, I couldn't tell you, because I have no idea what a toddler needs. Do you, Aristotle, as far as? No.
Yeah. It's almost said, like, with the milk thing. Like, I go, well, milk's bad for you. And he goes, well, milk makes small things bigger. I go,
really? Because I've been dipping my cock in milk for years, and it's shrinking.
Because I talked about all the like negative health effects of milk, and he goes, yeah, because you're fully grown now. You don't need it anymore.
But it's.
Right. I heard that was a myth, though. I heard truly that myth that milk doesn't really do much for you, and it was just, you know, that was just brought upon by advertisers.
Also, you see,
the dairy industry is very powerful.
Yeah, because it's the calcium that's supposed to do that, but there's also just as much, if not more, calcium in the alternative milks. And the worrisome thing is the hormones that are in the milk that make.
Oh, everything is all organic, grass-fed. Ah. I'm at least on that. But right. I don't
that's
like...
That's bullshit, though,
on,
but
I,
go ahead.
I hold on. I drank oat milk. Have you guys had this?
Ooh, I like oat milk.
Oat milk's the new goat milk.
It's great. Yeah, I like that.
Jake is keeping this light, which I like.
We need that.
Oat milk is really nice.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
I like it. It's expensive, though.
So no, if anybody like knows what a toddler needs, could you email me?
No, Google vegan... toddler.
Hey, maybe try love.
I'm in the other room smoking weed, googling how to feed him.
Margaret, give him the oat milk. I'm going to the racetrack. I want the kid taken care of. I have a tip on the third at Santa Anita.
Racetrack. I stopped betting on horses, and I stopped going to racetracks and shit because I found out horses are fucking abused for that. And I was just like, that's it for that shit.
Then you should take yourself to the Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth on Saturday, February 16th, 8 and 10 p.m. It's Eddie Pepitone live special recording.
Please.
10 o'clock.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Like, you know, certain comedians just announce that they're performing at Madison Square Garden and tickets are sold out immediately. Right. I have to beg motherfuckers over a period of weeks and
Hannah
months.
Gadsby is performing at the Dynasty Typewriter. She's doing 10 shows. I think she sold it out in a minute.
Do you know how that makes me feel? Not good.
Archie never opens the curtain. She just stands behind the curtain. I don't know. I didn't watch the special.
She's actually, she's lovely, actually. Oh,
yeah.
I've worked with
her. Yeah, we have to say that. No, I think I with like the her. New laws out. No, I don't know. I've heard, you know, she had a...
Please welcome Eddie Pepitone to the Todd Glass Show.
I'm way late on that. I'm sorry. That was good.
Why do comedians post sold-out shows? Is that just for ego?
Like billboards,
I
right?
I think so. I
mean,
think
there's no reason to put on your Instagram that a show is sold out.
It's a good point. Folks, I am going to tell you that you cannot get
Don't
tickets.
Waste your time even trying.
I'm doing great.
Yeah, that's it. I'm doing great is what that is. That's all social media is, isn't it? It's a big extension of one's ego. I mean,
what do you think about comedians who just take selfies constantly? Like, just
they're
all
sick.
They're doing. That's it. Like,
they're sick. And I've done it too. I mean, I've taken a bunch of selfies, and I know that it's, you know, me being desperate for validation. You know, I have that kind of sickness. I mean, look, I mean, this is well documented. Comedians, the psychological profile of a comic is someone who needs to be adored. And so, yeah, but you look like an asshole if you take selfies. So what I do now is just take tons of selfies, print them out, and hang them on my walls. I just hang them on my walls. I jerk off to them. Nobody's around. It's all consensual. Right. I jerk off to the selfies, my selfies. Yeah, I think those comedians who do that are like, ooh,
empty.
Right? I mean, there's something...
Well, there's an emptiness, I think, there. There's like, it's a feeling a deep, deep hole. And I don't think... It's not just comedians, but it's a lot of people.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
but I think
yeah.
comedians specifically, you know...
Well, it's interesting because social media is part of this whole narcissism that
mm-hmm. makes it like our society has become so fucking narcissistic. And I think social media is a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. And that kind of narcissism, it doesn't let people can't feel for others right. a lot of times because they're so enraptured with themselves.
I don't know who the guy is, but there was somebody in a documentary that I saw recently talking about how somebody who created the endless scroll on social media, that person is sort of like responsible.
That's a documentary? that one guy?
No. He was mentioned
what?
In the documentary.
What's going on?
There's somebody the person who created the endless scroll on your phone on social media where it just continues and continues and continues.
Oh, God. By the way, could you say that in a beautiful voice and do it fast first and then slow and then fast? Because that scroll, I love
that scroll. Right?
No, but what
where
about
we?
It?
Well, that's what is basically what
you
is
can't get
responsible
enough.
For a lot of people's mental illness for social media. The use of Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, yeah. The endless scroll is feeding into exactly what we want.
Constantly tap that happiness button.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's happiness.
The what?
Like you're just constantly tapping a happiness button in your brain.
And yeah, I heard that.
Or the envy button. And
a lot of the companies have teams that that know like psychology mm-hmm. and how to get you hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Frank, get me the shrink. Get me the shrink. I want to know how to hook them on this new app called Fisherman's Pride.
Fisherman's Pride.
We're going to make the like button look like a lure. By the way, speaking of that, did you guys see Vice at all?
Yeah.
Great. Not yet.
It was great.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Kudos to Adam McKay.
Yeah, did you? Yeah, he's definitely.
He
still
did
out
the Big
there.
Short as well, which was another
that was
great.
Also, he's one of the only people that's still out there talking about how terrible Bush and Cheney were, and nobody else is talking. Nobody talks about it.
Hey, like, Bush is making the talk show circuit talking about his painting, right?
Yeah. That's what bothers me when everybody talks about how brilliant Trump is at manipulating the media because. Right. Yeah. He's not doing anything that's calculated and brilliant. Mm. Dick Cheney would have the government leak fake shit to the New York Times, and then when the Times prints it, he would hit the circuit with the magazine going, according to the New York Times, Saddam Hussein has said it.
Yep.
He was good at manipulating the media.
You know what Trump is a master at? He's a master at chaos. Mm-hmm. Because I think the chaos is calculated.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong.
I think his whole thing is just staying on in the news cycle. He just wants whatever it is, as long as his name is mentioned, it's a win for him. Any news is good news.
Yeah, he's a great one of our greatest narcissists.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's why I voted for him.
I knew it.
All right, so we've covered the candidates. We
I
have
think
about
so.
Yeah. Do we want to segue into any other topics for Todd's fan base?
Yourself, then you should take yourself to the Dynasty typewriter at the Hayworth on Saturday, February 16th, 8 and 10 p.m. It's Eddie Pepitone, live special recording.
Look, I'm going to go the opposite way now. Mm. I don't need you. I don't want you to come. Don't fucking come. How's that? Keep seeing the same shitty people you see over and over and over again. Or don't, you know what? I know what you people do. You don't even get out of the house. You just go, oh, what's on Netflix? Oh, let me watch Ozark. Which was good, by the way. I watched both seasons. Again, contradiction. I'm a man of contradiction. And it will be addressed at the special. Please come. Please come.
Yes.
I beg of you.
What do we need to talk about to get people to come? Do we have to talk about something controversial? Like, does this...
I heard Kylie Jenner's going to be there.
There we go.
Who?
Kylie Jenner's going to be there.
And Brad Pitt, frequenter of the Dynasty typewriter.
Let's make some news. Let's talk about Louis. Let's make some news.
Ooh. Just kidding. No, I'm still afraid. Frank, get me the shrink. I want to know how to make the new app addictive. It's an app called Drummers Who Die With Vomit In Their Mouth.
Do you find yourself being a sucker to Instagram ads, the sponsored posts?
You know what? It's funny you say that, because how come I ordered a Bob Dylan poster from an Instagram ad? It was the lyrics to, like, part of the lyrics to Forever Young, and I fucking ordered that thing. And I never order shit like
that. They knew you wanted that. They knew.
Oh.
You see, I used to, when I would see the ads.
Todd has said I had to do enough for Gen Quota.
Right.
I'm just trying to fill a quota. Please proceed.
If I for a long time, I would go, this ad is not relevant to me, because I was tired of seeing.
Oh, can you do that on Instagram?
Yeah, but then I realized I shouldn't be doing that, because I'm teaching their algorithms to know what I like. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the more they know what I like, the better odds they're going to sell me shit.
Yeah, but it's all a con advertising, because we don't really need that shit unless it's medication we need. We don't need. Mm-hmm. What the fuck did I need a Bob Dylan poster for?
What else do they advertise for you, Eddie? Is it like.
Depends. The diapers depend.
Bondage
pornography.
No, Facebook thought I was gay for years.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, I get gay cruises and for a long time.
I get a lot of like breastfeeding sites. I just looked at Jake and he just was looking at me like, wow. Something is amiss. And,
oh, have you watched?
We talk about breastfeeding or what? I mean,
can you bring it back?
What are we talking about?
Have you watched Trigger Warning on Netflix?
What is that?
It's a Killer Mike show.
I don't understand any of this.
Killer
so
Mike
far.
Is great.
Yeah.
Killer Mike supported Bernie Sanders, a big Bernie Sanders supporter.
I like that.
I feel like he helped launch him even higher when it was like, Killer Mike and Bernie Sanders are hanging out. And
what
it
the
like,
fuck does Killer Mike do? What's the name
of his
show?
He's a rapper.
He still is. Oh. Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels. He used to.
He what?
He still is, but he used to, too.
So Killer Mike
has a show on Netflix that's like.
What does it do? You know what show I used to fucking love was, and this guy, I haven't seen him do anything brilliant lately, but I think he made me laugh more than anybody in recent years. Sacha Baron Cohen's Ali G show,
yeah,
where he would get people who didn't know what were going on.
Well, did you see his new thing on Showtime? What is America? Or Who's
America? I haven't seen
How
that
is
yet.
It?
It's great.
It is? Yeah, I got
to
check it out.
He gets Dick Cheney on there, and Dick Cheney is holding up a waterboard. To sign. He signs a waterboard for Sacha Baron Cohen.
What's his character?
He's doing this Israeli character.
Oh.
Yeah, like a military guy. It's so good.
Because The Dictator, I didn't even see. It just looked like it sucked. Am I right? I'd love to do is be a reviewer of movies who doesn't see any of the films. He doesn't see
like
any of the films that he is reviewing. Like,
yeah.
Did not see...
Roma,
but my instinct is very good film.
How about Ant-Man?
I didn't see Ant-Man, but fuck Paul Rudd. Fuck Paul Rudd, he's in everything.
Oh my God.
Would that be a funny show? Hello, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and I'm reviewing films I did not see. Some of them I've seen the trailer. By the way, I knew Holmes and Watson would suck. By the way, that got the lowest rating on Rotten Tomatoes I've ever seen.
Wait, it beat Emoji Movie?
It got 8%. Wow. What did Emoji get?
I don't know. I think
it might be like 2% or 0. It's pretty
what,
low.
Emoji?
Emoji
well,
was like the lowest.
Watson, Holmes and Watson, whatever they call it. 8%. Ooh. And shame on you, John C. Reilly, and shame on you, Will Ferrell. Use your talents for good, you fucking money-grubbing assholes. What kind of fucking... Why do they do that movie?
I don't know either.
Well, but I do want to see Stan and Ollie, which was a great John C. Reilly.
I saw it.
Oh, you did? How was it?
I liked it. John C. Reilly was great.
How about Coogan? I love Steve Coogan.
He was good, but John C. Reilly's character had more to work with. There was a lot more, I thought. It was good.
He was Oliver Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
he was good. Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yes, no? I did.
Thoughts?
I liked it, but not great, is my true opinion. Like, I thought I knew what every scene was going to be. Like,
right.
And now he's in this stage, and now he's in this stage. Oh, the band is going to break up. I couldn't believe it. Well, the Golden Globes don't mean anything, yeah. You know.
Plus, the director was a pedophile, right? Brian Singer. Yeah, he's a
yeah. That's why they're saying they got snubbed.
Pedophile.
Yeah, he is a huge pedophile. I just no. I Brian know. Singer.
Yeah.
What do you say? He is accused.
Alleged. Yeah.
Alleged, but yeah. It's been by a lot of fucking people. Yeah,
I'm surprised that they let him make this, because this was going on even when the X-Men movies were happening.
Yeah,
you almost said Mexican movies.
I wish.
Are you Mexican?
I am.
Oh, shit.
Roma. I was like, oh, my God. Yes.
What's the filmmaker again? That great filmmaker.
Cuarón.
It's Cuarón?
Cuarón, yeah.
Cuarón. And who made Shape of Water?
Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm. He's
Which
amazing.
I love him with all my life, but...
But? What's the but?
It doesn't really... He's a super nerd. I love him. We have the same interests. Yeah. But he has not made a movie in Spanish in years, right. And those are his best movies.
Because I don't mind subtitles at all. What's a great Spanish movie that I could see?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth is the number one. Fucking amazing.
And The Devil's Backbone, because that too.
Oh, I've seen them both. They were in Spanish. I didn't even realize it. I must speak it. And I have no idea.
Another good Spanish director, Iñárritu.
Iñárritu,
Mexican. Yeah.
Oh, now what did he? Who did the movie? That was a Birdman. Who
it was Iñárritu.
That fucking movie was amazing. Did you
so
see it, Eric?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Incredible. Michael Keaton was so good.
Yeah. Michael Keaton, what a great comeback story.
Yeah, why
How
can't
old
he
is
be
he?
Batman again?
What?
Why can't he be Batman?
That's very funny. Right? I think he should come back as one of the villains. I think Keaton would make a great villain called Older Gentleman.
Did you see Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yeah. No, I don't see the Spider-Man
I saw the new one, the Spider-Verse, the animated one.
I like haven't seen that one yet, that but cool. In Spider-Man Homecoming, he is the villain.
Who?
Michael Keaton.
Oh, is that new?
Wow,
yes. His career really is. Now, he's an interesting story because he really had a rebirth, right? Mm-hmm. And it happened when he was older.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for something like that, you know?
He did a great movie called Game 6 that I don't know, a lot of people didn't see. It was really good. That was like his first movie back.
Game 6?
It was based off of a play, I think, by Don DeLillo, you know, the writer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it's a really good movie, and it came out maybe 10
years. Game 6, good.
Yeah, it's great.
I always ask Steve's big time into film. I always ask Steve for movie recommendations, and I never got Game 6.
You got it now.
I got it now. So that's a good one, huh? Really is it Netflixable?
I think it's probably on Amazon. I don't know if it's on Netflix.
I have Amazon too. That's because again, I'm a contradiction. Were you going to say something there?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I'm sure it was about Michael Keaton, but he's had his.
I was going to say the bitter Buddha. I was going to say the bitter Buddha is available on Amazon. Because I feel like I couldn't. Actually, I don't know. I think it might be on Hulu, and maybe Amazon now. I feel with Eddie and me here, I cannot mention The Bitter Buddha once.
That's a documentary about me, folks. That Steve. Yeah.
He tells people he created you.
Created it. Yes, I know. I know. That's what Glass says all the time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny. We're wrapping up soon. No. Oh, yeah, we got like about 7 minutes.
Well, it's your show, so you.
Oh yeah. Well, I got to go do another show, folks. I'm co-hosting a lot of different podcasts. There's a lot of podcasters out of town in LA this week.
We also didn't mention your podcast, Pep Talks.
My podcast, Pep Talks with Steve Lally, is part of the All Things Comedy Network. Pep Talks. You should listen to that podcast because no one else does. So maybe maybe you can. I don't know how to make like Todd. You know, he has all these fucking sound effects, songs. He's got a live band. I mean, that's a lot of entertainment. Me, I'm just like on my podcast talking about like death and we're all going to die and I'm afraid and people for some reason don't want to tune in.
I was going to say, if my tweets were honest, it would just say, I don't want to die or please like me.
If your tweets were honest, that would be funny. If, you know, there was something that made everybody honest and everybody's tweet said, I don't want to die. And you just keep scrolling on that.
Just why?
And you feel empty. Yeah. Why? Yeah. By the way, we never kind of finished that thought about the scroll being responsible for mental illness.
It is.
In what way?
It's the it just feeds into what Aristotle was saying, is your happiness impulses. You're just basically
Aristotle the philosopher or Aristotle our sound engineer.
Sound engineer.
I mean, is there a difference?
There, yeah. It there's. I don't. I am not a scientist, so I don't.
What?
Know. Oh, our conversation.
Whoa! You're the one who gave me all the graphs about the oceans warming.
From what I've watched in a documentary that I can't remember the name of, so I'm great with information. But the endless scroll is supposed to be one of the worst inventions for mankind in terms of what it's done to her.
Right, and also the like button is insane because it just gets people addicted to being validated. Right.
Yes.
When I see the heart button, I sort of love that. Like when, especially when a woman hearts something. For me, I'm like, hello. hello.
But that's depressing,
and it's
too,
bullshit.
When you don't get any love, and I'm like, great. People aren't responding well to the person I'm pretending to be. I'm fucked.
That's funny.
The guy's name is Aza Roskin.
He worked
for Google. There's an article in BBC that you should check out called Social Media Apps Are Deliberately Addictive to Users.
Yes, I remember reading that.
Aza Roskin is the person who invented the infinite scroll. And apparently that's the term.
The way I remember Aza Roskin's name, so you guys remember it, is it rhymes with Baza Poskin.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Phrase used frequently.
Well, listen, guys, I love Todd Glass. He's got a great podcast, and I just want to tell you, I don't need you to come.
To the 10 o'clock show. Don't come to the 10 o'clock show on February 16th.
Yeah, don't come to anything I do.
Don't even watch this special when it comes out. Don't even watch it. Watch Jeff Dunham instead. He's good.
Now, you know, here's it.
Puppets are funny?
Dunham does puppets, right? Mm-hmm. What are the name of his puppet characters, because he is super rich, right? Maybe I could fucking come up with like a left wing dark puppet.
You got Mr. Peanut, I think, is one of them. And he's got
maybe
a
I'll
terrorist.
Do Mr.
Yeah, he's got some racist
what
ones.
If I do Mr. Brazil Nut, which is no, check it out, it's a right wing dictator like they have now in Brazil. Bolsonaro, they have a right wing strong man. What if I do like the Bolsonaro Brazil Nut puppet?
I like it.
And I'm just like, and the puppet comes on, and imagine a little puppet. It's a Brazil nut. It's got a little mouth, and it says shit like this. You will do what I fucking tell you. I am a Brazil nut. There will be no homosexuality around me.
But you will wear Speedos.
Love yourself. Then you should take yourself to the Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth.
There's the Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. That's another puppet that he has. Ahmed the Dead Terrorist.
Oh, my God. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a
So is he doing like an Islamophobia type shit?
Yeah. It's definitely a right-wing kind of thing, yeah.
So I should be the left-wing puppeteer. that's a possibility for
Absolutely.
Me. Right? Like, hi, everybody. Let's see. What if I'm a carrot produced by Monsanto? Right? That has life now. Like, because they don't know what they're doing with these GMOs, right? And now the carrot, by the way, folks, we're ending in about a minute. So I just want to tell you that this kind of creativity that you're hearing emanating from me, you will not hear on the taping for this session. But what if I'm a carrot? You know, from Monsanto, when I'm like, I'm talking to everybody, like I'm talking, fellow carrots, we must unite and kill the humans. It's like a Blade Runner type thing. Like, we were created by these fucks and all they do is eat us. Well, how about it's time we stick ourselves up their asses. We're carrots, damn it. Like the carrot dictator is that character.
Unite. Carrots unite.
My mom actually used to date a puppet guy. Puppeteer.
Oh, wow.
That could be, I mean, puppeteers, I hear, are great in bed.
They're good with their hands.
They're good with their hands. Oh. Yeah. I think we'll leave it on that note, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Well, come see my special taping February 16th, 8 and 10 o'clock. We need more people for the 10.
Dana Gould will be on the show.
Dana
too.
Gould. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, Dana Gould, who is an amazing comedian, has agreed to open for me. And that is awesome. Dana is amazing. Yes. Any final thoughts from you guys?
If you guys have been wondering, the Fuck Festival is still going on. So hit me up about that.
Tweet it, Jake.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And thanks to all you guys here today. And Todd will be back next week. All right, bye.
Bye.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. Not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you. Not your toys. They're just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. And I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you, it's you, it's you I like. It's you, I.